Hello and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune and this is part one of Beware the Snowman by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. This is, I think, including this one, I only have four books left. So, yeah, I might finish this soon. Hopefully, it's been goddamn years. The cover of the book has a snowman looking all angry, as if he's yelling at youths to get off his lawn. And he's standing next to a mailbox, and it says, "He's got a heart of cold," instead of gold, you know, and cold heart means you're, not loving, I guess. I don't know. Fuck, what's been going on with old Drunkle Stiltskin? It's only been a couple days since last time I recorded, but this is going to be like the last day to myself for quite a while. I have to still obtain a car. I'm going to try to get one via police auction tomorrow. So I'm either going to get a big-ass van that convicts were in at some point, or a old police cruiser. I went to CarMax and went around and was walking, and I was like, wait, the down payment I was planning on spending would be all my money minus like $350. And I don't know what's up with my job, and I have to do payments, and with taxes, like a good CarMax used car would, you know, be years of paying off, and I fucking hate the concept of being in debt to anyone. And then the next day I get to work, and my boss is like, "Hey, you know how you have stock options, and we said there would be a severance package? Well, it turns out your paycheck that you're getting next week, that will be for all of September, is your last paycheck, most likely, unless we get some crazy good news in this meeting that's either tomorrow or the next day." So I'm like, huh, alright, well, after 10 plus years, I'm out of a job. But like what happened with Connie, I got a job offer that's maybe temporary, but same pay and working from home for a buddy doing a bunch of weird shit. That sounds gay. Working from home for a buddy doing a bunch of odd internet-based jobs. So it's good. I'm good. Everything's good, right? I don't know. Yeah, so I'm trying to get a car. My brother's coming into town. His wife is moving here, and he's about to move after. And it's just weird times all around. I need a fucking car. I need a car, and I need a permanent job, and I need money. It's 2016. Just been a weird, bad year. I was thinking about getting that van so I could live in the van if shit gets any worse. I could be van people. Like Murray Overboard on Twitter, but he's apartment people. Oh, whatever. Anyway, anything else for me? If you need anything, like always, I'm at Dune on Twitter. The Facebook messages seem to be working. If you want to go to facebook.com/DuneReadsGoosebumps, and or email me at dune@dunereadsgoosebumps.com. Even though dunereadsgoosebumps .com was taken down, the email still works fine. Stupid person reporting me. Stupid cease and desist notice. God damn it. Whatever. I'm still a big fan of Scholastic and a big fan of R.L. Stine, who wrote Beware the Snowman. And here is chapter one of that bitch. When the snows blow wild and the day grows old, beware the snowman, my child. Beware the snowman, he brings the cold. Damn, this podcast just got classy as shit. I'm doing poetry and shit. Why did that rhyme return to me? It was a rhyme my mother used to whisper to me when I was a little girl like Dune. I could almost hear Mom's soft voice, a voice that I haven't heard since I was five, because Mom went to the joint for cooking meth. Beware the snowman. He brings the cold. Mom died when I was five, wink, wink. And I went to live with Aunt Greta because Dad was Mom's maiden buyer when she was cooking all the tweak. I'm 12 now, and my aunt never read that rhyme to me. So, what made it run through my mind as Aunt Greta and I climbed out of the van? Ooh, should I buy a van? Is this a sign? I gotta know by tomorrow when I'm start bidding hard on police auctions that are, by the way, in Orange County. So I gotta drive up there somehow to obtain said car. What am I doing? I'm 30 and my life is just fuck. I climbed out of the van and gazed at our snow-covered new home. Jacqueline? That's a weird spelling. Jacelyn? I'm going with Jacqueline, but not Jacqueline. Is it? Oh, well, that's a fucking weird name. I bet if I Google this name, it'll be like, yo, did you mean? No, I guess that's how some people spell Jacqueline, especially Jacqueline Hill, who does apparently makeup tutorials. People also search for Jeffree Star. What the fuck? What year is this? Why are people searching for Jeffree Star? Is Jeffree Star still a thing after MySpace? Whatever. Jacqueline, you look troubled, Aunt Greta said, placing a hand on the shoulder of my blue parka. What are you thinking about, dear? I shivered, not from Aunt Greta's touch, but from the chill of the steady wind that blew down from the mountain. I stared at the flat-roofed cabin that was to be our new home. Beware the snowman. There's a second verse to that rhyme, I thought. Why can't I remember it? I wonder if we still had the old poetry book that Mom used to read to me from. What a cozy little home, Aunt Greta said. She still had her hand on my shoulder. I felt so sad. I felt so terribly unhappy. But I forced a smile to my face, like the Joker, you know, because it's cut into his face, but she's just forcing it to be nice. Yes, cozy, I murmured. Snow clung to the windowsills and filled the cracks between the shingles. A mound of snow rested on their low, flat roof. Aunt Greta's normal pale cheeks were red from the cold. Just kidding. She isn't a savage. She isn't very old, but she has white hair. She's had white hair for as long as I can remember. Remember, she's probably just like stressed out from having to fucking raise a kid that wasn't hers that she didn't have without no man around, am I right? She wears it long, always tied behind her head in a single braid that falls nearly all the way down her back. The bottom of her white hair is brown, stained from poo-poo because it goes all the way down between her butt cheeks and she don't wipe so good. She's tall and skinny and kind of pretty, with a delicate round face and big, sad, dark eyes. I don't look at all like my aunt. I don't know who I look like. I don't remember my mom that well. And I never knew my father due to his meth addiction we addressed earlier. Aunt Greta told me he disappeared as soon after I was born. Probably Alaska or Florida. I have a wavy, shout out to r/Kanye, dark brown hair and brown eyes. I'm tall and athletic. I was the star basketball player on the girls' team at my school in Chicago. I like, speaking of Kanye, right? Chicago? The wavy? Alright, we're on to something. I like to talk a lot like Dune, and dance and sing, just like Dune likes to do to me, and Dune are similar, except for he don't like no basketball. Aunt Greta can go a whole day without barely saying a word. I love her, but she's so stern and silent. Sometimes I wish she were easier to talk to. I'm going to need someone to talk to, I thought sadly. We had left Chicago only yesterday, but I already missed my friends. And it was like, what, 1996, 1997 or something at this time, and I couldn't text no one, and AOL Instant Messenger was like 2 years away, and it was fucked up. How am I going to make friends in this tiny village on the edge of the Arctic Circle, I wondered. Maybe you should build a snowman, and then you should be aware of it, because it's evil. I helped my aunt pull bags from the van. My boots crunched over the hard snow. This is actually an interesting Goosebumps, because it's like one of the first ones with like a realistic parent dynamic of, hey, I never knew my deadbeat dad, and my mom died, and I'm living with my aunt. Like, it's way better than everyone is like a two-parent household with a dog and a sibling, you know? It's kind of nice. It's a good change. It's realistic. I gazed up at the snow-covered mountain. Snow. Snow everywhere. Like an 80s party. I couldn't tell where the mountain ended and the clouds began. The little square houses along the road didn't look real to me. They looked as if they were made of gingerbread because I'm partially retarded. As if I had stepped into some kind of fairy tale. Except I wasn't in a fairy tale. It was my life like John Bon Jovi. My totally weird life. Oh, you're not trying to buy a cop car because you have no car and you're reading Goosebumps for no reason. My life's weirder. I mean, why did we have to move from the United States to this tiny, frozen mountain village? Aunt Greta never really explained. Time for a change, she muttered. Time to move on. That bitch had warrants. It was so hard to get her to say more than a few words at a time. I knew that she and my mom grew up in a village like this one. But why do we have to move here? Why did I have to leave my school and all of my friends? Sherpia. What kind of name is Sherpia? Can you imagine moving from Chicago to Sherpia? Like, who's gonna shoot me in Sherpia? It's not like Chicago where the bullets rain down like hail. Lucky, huh? No. Jesus, I like choked myself. No way. It wasn't even a skiing town. The whole village is practically deserted. I wondered if there was anyone here my age. This is the beginning of Johnny Tsunami, okay? You know, except for Chicago and Hawaii are switched, but same thing. Aunt Greta kicked snow away from the front door of our new house. Then she struggled to open the door. The wood is warped, she grunted. She lowered her shoulder to the door and pushed it open as if she were doing a drug raid, like it happened to my parents so many times. She's thin, but she's tough, like the people my parents hung out with. I started to carry the bags into the house, but something, standing in the snowy yard across the road, caught my eye. Curious, I turned and stared at it. I gasped as it came into focus. What is it? A snowman? A snowman with a scar? As I squinted across the road at it, the snowman started to move. Ah, goddamn, shit's already getting real in the first chapter. Chapter number 2. By the way, I'm drinking a tall can of Steel Reserve, but that's not fully true because I did take a sip of it in between chapters, but it's currently in my freezer because I bought it AM PM and then I drove to Connie's work with her car, then I Ubered home and it was kind of hot, and it took me a while to start recording, so it's cooling down. Before that, I drank 2 cocktails, but I just want to be honest and upfront with you about what I'm drinking while I record. That's all. Chapter 2, I blinked. No, the snowman wasn't moving. Obviously not. Its red scarf was fluttering in the swirling breeze. Oh, red scarf, that means the snowman's a white supremacist, but I guess all snowmen are white unless they're just dirty. But still, I guess they could be yellow with pee-pee. I guess there's all kinds of snowmen. My boots crunched loudly as I stepped up to the snowman and examined that motherfucker carefully. What a weird snowman. It had slender tree limbs for arms. One arm poked out to the side. The other arm stood straight up as if waving to me or Hitler. Each tree limb had 3 twig figures poking out of it as if it were representing the west side. The snowman had 2 dark, round stones for eyes, a crooked carrot nose, oh great, a Jewish snowman, and a downturned sneering mouth of smaller pebbles. Why did they make it so mean-looking? I wondered. I couldn't take my eyes off the scar. It was long and deep, cut down the right side of the snowman's face like a hack villain from an 80s action movie. Weird, I muttered aloud. My favorite word. Aunt Greta is always saying I need a bigger vocabulary, but she's weird, and she needs to weird the weird off, weirdo. Get it? Because she has a small... Forget it. But how else could you describe a nasty-looking, sneering snowman with a scar on his face? Jacqueline, come help! Aunt Greta's call made me turn away from the snowman. I hurried my way back across the road to the new house. It took a long while to unpack the van. When we lugged the final carton into the cabin, Aunt Greta found a pot. And smoked that dank-ass pot. Damn! Just kidding. I'm so funny, because pot, you can use to cook things, but also it's a drug, an illegal, illicit drug called marijuana that the kids have been doing. Then she made us hot chocolate in a little old-fashioned stove in the kitchen. Cozy, she repeated. She smiled, but her dark eyes studied my face. I think she was trying to see if I was unhappy. At least it's warm in here, she said, wrapping her bony fingers around the white hot chocolate mug. It would be interesting if it was white hot chocolate mug, because I guess it wouldn't be. Fuck, this is a bad, you know, little diatribe going on, and I regret doing it. Her cheeks were still red from the cold. I nodded sullenly like a junkie. I wanted to cheer up, but I just couldn't. I kept thinking about my friends back home. I wondered if they were going to a Bulls game tonight. My friends were all into basketball. I won't be playing much basketball here, I thought unhappily. Even if they play basketball, there probably aren't enough kids in the village for a team. You'll be warm up there, Aunt Greta said, cutting into my thoughts. She pointed up to the low ceiling. The house only had one bedroom. That was my aunt's room. My room was the low attic beneath the roof, which is like a reverse basement. I'm going to check it out like Steve Brule, I said, pushing my chair back. It scraped on the hardwood floor. The only way to reach my room was a metal ladder that stood against the wall. I climbed the ladder, then pushed away the flat board in the ceiling and pushed myself into the low attic. It was cozy, all right. Cozy was in italics, emphasizing cozy. My aunt had picked the right word. The ceiling was so low, I couldn't stand up. Pale white light streamed in through the one small round window at the far end of the room. Crouching, I made my way to the window and peered out. Snow speckled the window pane, but I could see the road and the two rows of little houses curving up the mountainside. I didn't see anyone out there, not a soul. Just a ginger, just kidding. Ginger's got souls. I'm making jokes. Leave me alone. Stop. I'll bet they've all gone to Florida, I thought glumly. No one wants to go to Florida except your tweaker dad. It was midwinter break. The school here was closed. Aunt Greta and I had passed it on our way through the village. A small, gray stone building, not much bigger than a two-car garage. How many kids will be in my class? I wondered. Three? Or four? Just me? And will they speak English? I don't know. We haven't established what country this is yet. I swallowed hard and scolded myself for being so down. Cheer up, Jacqueline, I thought, scolding myself for having such a terrible name as well. Sherpia is a beautiful little village. Is that a real thing, Sherpia? I'm searching Google for Sherpia. Sherpia, Great Falls, Virginia? Yeah, nothing really. Okay, still trying to figure out the country. Sherpia is a beautiful little village. You might meet some really neat kids here. Ducking my head, I made my way back to the ladder. I'm going to cover the ceiling with posters, I decided. That will brighten this attic a lot. Just like when Dune was in, like, fifth grade, and he had a poster of the yin-yang, but it had, like, weird fucking tie-dye shit behind it, because it was the 90s, and that's the kind of poster you had. Or, when he got older, and he had a Sid Vicious poster, and then he had a Steve Ignorant from Crass poster, and then when I was, like, in fourth grade, I had a Green Day poster. This is, like, the Dookie time period, and, you know, that's what I was doing. Trying to think of other posters I've had. Right now on the wall, the only thing on this room is a hand-drawn picture that Connie bought at an art show. I guess it's not like a drawing. It's a beautiful little piece of Chicano artwork. Anyway. That will brighten this attic up a lot. And maybe cheer me up, too. Can I help unpack? I asked Aunt Greta as I climbed down the ladder. She pushed her long white braid off her shoulder. No, I want to work in the kitchen first. Why don't you take a walk or something? Do a little exploring. It would be a lot more exciting if Pokemon Go existed, but it doesn't yet, so just walk around in the snow and freeze to death, idiot. A few minutes later, I found myself outside, pulling the drawstrings of my parka hood too tight like Kenny from South Park. I adjusted my fur-lined gloves and waited for my eyes to adjust to the white glare of the snow. Which way should I walk, I wondered. I had already seen the school, the general store, a small church, and the post office down the road, so I decided to head up the road toward the mountaintop. The snow was hard and crusty like a scab. My boots hardly made a dent in it as I leaned into the wind and started to walk. Tire tracks cut twin ruts down the middle of the road. I decided to walk in one of them because I wanted to get hit by traffic and end this horrible frozen nightmare. Hey, don't drive so loudly past my house. I passed a couple of houses about the size of ours. They both appeared dark and empty. A tall stone house had a Jeep parked in the driveway. I saw a kid's sled in the front yard, an old-fashioned wooden sled like Calvin and Hobbes ride together on. A yellow-eyed black cat stared out at me from the living room. Its eyes were only yellow because of its crippling alcoholism. I waved a gloved hand at it. It didn't move. I sang Hand in Glove at it, wondering if it was a Smiths fan. It was like, yo, bitch, I'm a cat. I still hadn't seen any other humans. The wind whistled and grew colder as I climbed. The road grew steeper as it curved up. The houses were set further apart. The snow sparkled as clouds rolled away from the sun. It was suddenly so beautiful. I turned and gazed down at the houses I had passed. Little gingerbread houses nestled in the snow. It's so pretty, I thought. Maybe I will get to like it here. Oh! I cried out as I felt icy fingertips wrap themselves around my neck. Uh-oh, shit just got real already. Wait, I think I said that in the last chapter. Alright, shit's probably still fake. It's only getting into chapter 3. Chapter number 3. Shout out to Edgar Ramirez. I spun around and pulled free of the frozen grip and stared at a grinning boy in a brown sheepskin jacket and a red and green wool ski cap. Did I scare you? He asked. His grin done grew wider. Before I could answer, a girl about my age stepped out from behind a broad evergreen bush. She wore a purple down coat and purple gloves in tribute to the late artist Prince. Don't mind Eli, she said, tossing her hair off her face. He's a total creep. Maybe he should have been in Calling All Creeps by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. Thanks for the compliment, Eli grinned. I decided they must be brother and sister. They both had round faces like Eskimos, straight black hair, and bright sky blue eyes. You're new, Eli said, squinting at me, with his bright sky blue eyes. Eli thinks it's funny to scare any new kids, his sister told me, rolling her bright sky blue eyes. My little brother is a riot, isn't he? Being scared is about all there is to do in Sherpia, Eli said. His grin faded. What a weird thing to say, I thought. I introduced myself. I'm Jacqueline DeForest. I told them my last name means DeForest in Ebonics. Their names were Rolanda and Eli Browning. We live there, Eli said, pointing to the White House. Ooh, they're the president of this land. Oh, or it's just probably white with snow or painted white. They're probably not presidents at all. They're just kids. Where do you live? I pointed down the road. Farther down, I replied. I started to ask them something, but stopped when I saw the snowman they were building. It had one arm out and one arm up, once again, praising Snow Hitler. It had a red scarf wrapped around its head and a red scarf around its left arm. Just kidding, it doesn't have that. And it had a deep scar down the right side of its face. That's the snowman, I stammered. It looks just like one I saw across the street from me. Rolanda's smile faded. Eli lowered his eyes to the snow. Really? He muttered. Why do you make it like that? I demanded. It's so strange looking. Why did you put the scar on its face? They glanced at each other tensely. They didn't reply. Finally, Rolanda shrugged. I don't really know, she murmured. She blushed. Was she lying? Why didn't she want to answer me? Where are you walking? Eli asked, tightening the snowman's red scarf. Just walking, I told him. Do you guys want to come with me? I thought I'd walk to the top of the mountain. No, Eli gasped. His blue eyes widened in fear. You can't, Rolanda cried. You can't! Chapter number 4. Excuse me? I gaped at them in shock. What is their problem? Why can't I go up to the top? I demanded. I'm like on top of old Smokey. All covered with cheese? I don't know. The fear faded quickly from their faces. Rolanda tossed back her black hair. Eli pretended to be busy with the red snowman scarf. Do people just put scarves on random snowmans and snowmen, I guess? Sorry. And just leave them? Like, seems like a waste of a scarf in a place where you clearly need one. You're not just trying to wear one because they're sweet, but you live in San Diego and you can never wear it at all. You can't go because it's closed for repairs, Eli finally replied. Eli replied. That's good stuff. Ha ha. Remind me to laugh later, Rolanda sneered. So, what's the real reason? I demanded. Well, we just never go up there, Rolanda stammered, glancing at her brother. She waited for Eli to add something, but he didn't say shit. It's kind of like a tradition, Rolanda continued, avoiding my eyes. I mean, well, we just don't go up there. It's too cold, Eli added. That's why. It's just too cold up there for humans to survive. We would turn to ice in 30 seconds, like the icy hot stunners. I knew he was lying. I knew that wasn't the real reason, but I decided to drop the subject like it were hot, which it wasn't. It was boring. They suddenly seemed so tense and worried. Where are you from? Rolanda asked, potentially inquiring about gang affiliation. She dug her gloved hands deep into her coat pockets. The next village? Nah, Chicago, I told her. We lived in an apartment right on the lake. And you moved here? Eli cried. From Chicago to Sherpia? Why? Good question, I muttered, rolling my eyes. I live with my aunt, see? Yeah, I live with my aunt, see? And Aunt Greta decided to move here, see? So... Sorry. I couldn't keep the sadness from my voice. We talked for a few more minutes. I learned that they lived in Sherpia their entire lives. It isn't so bad. You get used to not seeing many people, Rolanda told me. That's why we're all awkward as fuck and autistic and don't fucking talk to you well. And it's nice if you like snow, Eli added. Lots and lots of snow. We all laughed. I see. See you guys later. I started walking up the road. You're not going to the top, are you? Eli called. He sounded really frightened again. No, I called back. I pulled my hood tight. It's getting kind of windy. I'll just go a little further. The road curved higher. I crunched my way past a wide, woodsy lot filled with pine trees nearly as thin as pencils. The trees tilted in all angles, throwing various gang signs. Not one of them stood straight up like the village people. I saw animal tracks in the snow. Rakens? Squirrels? Chupacabras? No, too big. Deer tracks? I couldn't tell. Moose tracks? This isn't ice cream. I raised my eyes and cried out in surprise at what lies ahead of my eyes. Another sneering snowman stared back at me with its twisted carrot nose and coal black eyes. Its red scarf fluttered in the strong wind. I stared at the long scar cut deep in its face. Its twig arms waved in the wind as if greeting me. Why do they build these creepy snowmen, I asked out loud. Do you wanna build a snowman? I never saw Frozen. I just think that's part of it. Right? It's a song? I think I heard it. I don't know. I'm drinking Steel Reserve. I turned and saw another one in the front yard across the street. Same tree branch arms. Same red scarf. Same scar. It must be some kind of village decoration, I decided. But why didn't Yolanda or Eli tell me anything about it? Heavy gray clouds rolled over the sun. The snowman's shadow appeared to be stretching until it swept over me. I felt a sudden chill. I stepped back. The sky quickly turned evening dark. I gazed up to the top of the mountain. Clumps of pine trees hid the top from view. Should I head back up or keep going? I remembered the fear on Eli's face when I said I was climbing to the top. And I remembered Yolanda's cry, "You can't! Me, 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 me." It only made me more curious. What were they afraid of? What was up there? I decided to keep going and got to a drinking break. Steel Reserve. A van in the next driveway was buried under a thick sheet of snow. It looked as if it hadn't been driven all winter. I followed the road as it curved away from the houses. The snow became deeper and softer. My boots sank in as I walked. I imagined that I was walking on another planet, a planet never before explored. Like in No Man's... What's that? No. Damn it. Whatever. The point is that game that everyone was talking about, and then they said, no, it's actually terrible, and it doesn't have any of the features. Then Gio was like, you should get it. And I was like, motherfucker, I don't have a computer. I'm using Connie's laptop. My computer died. And he's like, you should still get the game. And I was like, really? Because everyone else says the game's terrible. And he said, it's just like Borderlands, which I love, but I'm like, what? Borderlands is like a first-person shooter with, like, leveling up mechanics like an RPG. And he's like, yeah, but there's grinding. And I was like, I don't know about this. And then me and Gio switched the subject to him being angry about something else, and then I was like, I can't handle this anger because my life's very stressful right now, but I still love me some Geo. The end. The road climbed steeper. Large white rocks jutted up from the snow like crack on coke. Clumps of slender pine trees tilted in every direction. There were no houses up this high. I could see only trees and snow-covered shrubs and jutting rocks. The road curved again. The wind whistled. I rubbed my cheeks and nose to warm them. Then I leaned into the wind and kept walking. I stopped when a small log cabin came into view. I shielded my eyes with a gloved hand and stared at that motherfucker. A cabin? Way up here? Why would anyone want to live this high up, away from everyone? Maybe it's because they don't want kids walking into their goddamn cabin space so they can be alone in the woods. Maybe it's her dad. Just tweaking away in the forest. I guess not forest, top of a mountain in an unknown country where the law can't catch up to him. The cabin stood in a square, cleared-out area, surrounded by scraggly, tilting pine trees. I didn't see any car or sled. I didn't see any boot prints in the snow. I crept closer to the cabin. The windows were steamed over. I couldn't tell if there were lights on inside or not. I stepped closer, my heart pounding. I leaned my arms on a windowsill and pressed my nose against the glass, like some sort of peeping Tom, but I couldn't see shit. Anyone home? I called, which is a weird thing to do at a random cabin. Silence. The wind whistled around the corner of the cabin. I knocked on the door. Hello? Who just knocks on the door of a random cabin? They just moved here. Why don't they ask the kids or someone else? Hello? No reply. Weird, I muttered. I tried the door. I just pushed it lightly. Maybe I shouldn't have, but I did. The door slid open. I felt a rush of warm air from inside. Anyone home? I called while trespassing like an asshole. I peeked beyond the door. Dark in there. Hello? I stepped inside just to take a look. What is the motivation here? Why are they doing this? The snow had been so bright outside, my eyes adjusted slowly to the dim light. And before I could focus, I saw a white blur. A growling white blur. It leaped on me. Hot breath on my face. And a snarling white creature tackled me to the floor. Chapter number 5. Shout out to Bob Peterson listening to this shit at work up in Rancho Cucamonga, which is where I have to go this weekend if I win the auction on an old police car or van. down, Wolfbane. Apparently Danzig owns the dog. The snarling stopped instantly. The creature backed off. Down, Wolfbane. A man's voice ordered sternly, gasping for breath. I wiped hot saliva off my face and realized I was staring up at a white-furred wolf. The wolf was breathing hard, too. Jaws open, tongue snaking down nearly to the cabin floor. Ugh, you need to roll that shit up like a reverse fruit roll-up when you're eating it. But I guess at one point, fruit roll-ups had to be fruit rolled up. They're just not fruit unrolled. I watched a man grab a fruit roll-up and then bite into it, paper and all, once. Shit was fucked up. Its head was lowered, as if preparing to attack again. Its round, dark brown eyes locked on me, suspiciously. Down, Wolfbane. It's okay, boy. I rolled away from the panting creature and climbed to my knees. Two hands reached down to grab my hands and tug me to my feet. Are you okay? The man studied me with round, silver-gray eyes. Also, what the fuck were you doing just walking into my house for no reason? Who the fuck does that? Dear God, what are you doing? Seriously, what? He didn't say. He was tall and thin, dressed in all denim like Jay Leno. He had long gray hair tied back in a short ponytail. Ooh, maybe you should hook up your aunt. And a thick, pure white beard, like Santa Claus. But instead of reindeers, he has wolves that eat intruders. His eyes glowed like steel marbles. I could almost feel them burning into me, but I couldn't actually feel that because it's ridiculous. Is that really a wolf? I demanded. He nodded, his expression stern, his eyes eerie as Indiana and not moving, not blinking. He won't hurt you. Wolfbane is well trained. But he, my mouth, suddenly felt so dry it was hard to talk, as if I was smoking heck a pot from my aunt. You startled us, the man said, still not blinking, not looking away. We are in the back room. He motioned toward a doorway in the back wall. Sorry, I murmured. I didn't know anyone's here, and I thought... Who are you? The man demanded angrily. He narrowed his silvery eyes at me. Behind the bushy white beard, his slender face reddened. I didn't mean to... Who are you? He repeated. I was on a walk. Ooh, maybe she's Native American. That's her real name. I struggled to explain. If only my heart weren't pounding so hard. If only my mouth weren't so dry. The white wolf uttered a low growl. Grr. It stood tensely, head lowered, eyes locked on me, as if waiting for a command to attack. Why did you break into my house? The man demanded, like a reasonable human being, taking a step toward me. He's dangerous, I realized. He's not dangerous. He's concerned that you walked into his motherfucking house for no reason. He thought he lived in a neighborhood where you didn't have to lock your door, but apparently he did because assholes like you from Chicago start moving in. There's something very strange about him. Something very angry. What kind of weird monologues going on in her head of, so I broke in this person's house, and for some reason they're bummed out. I didn't break in, I started, like a liar, Dune added.
You broke into my house, he insisted. Don't you realize how dangerous that is? Wolfbane is trained to attack strangers.
Sorry, I choked out. He took another step toward me. He still hadn't blinked those weird, round eyes. My chest tightened in fright. What did he plan to do? I didn't want to find out. I took a deep breath, then spun around and ran out the door. Could I get away?
What, from your felony? I guess we'll find out in chapter 6, won't we?
Chapter number 6. Behind me, the door slammed hard against the cabin wall. I glanced back and saw him burst out of the cabin after me.
Where are you going? He cried in a new voice. Hey, stop.
Where are you going?
I pointed. Up to the top, I cried. No, you're crazy, he shouted back furiously.
As he lived with a wolf and was calling other people crazy.
You will not go up there.
He's crazy, I realized. He has no right to shout at me like that. He's so entitled after breaking into his house. I can go anywhere I want to. He's crazy.
It had started to snow, large, wet flakes blowing hard in swirls of wind. I brushed a snowflake from my forehead and ran to the road. To my horror, the bearded man followed me, half walking, half running over the deep snow. Some people call that shit jogging or power walking.
Beware the snowman, he called, as if he were R.L. Stine naming this book.
Huh?
I turned back to face him. "What did you say?" I cried, breathlessly. The old rhyme flew through my mind for a second time.
Wow. You had to do that intentionally, R.L. Stein. God damn.
When the snow blows... All right, let's start this again. Steel Reserve.
When the snows blow wild and the day grows old, beware the snowman, my child. Beware the snowman, he brings the cold.
I don't believe this, I thought. I haven't thought about that rhyme since I was 5, and now it's run through my mind twice in one day. What can I say? This shit cray.
We stood staring at each other from opposite sides of the road. I saw the man shiver. He wore only his denim work shirt, no coats. No pants, just a boner. Big snowflakes clung to his gray hair and his shoulders.
What did you say? I asked.
The snowman lives in the ice cave, he called, cupping his hands around his mouth to be heard over the wind.
Huh? A snowman?
He's really nuts, I decided. But why am I standing here listening to him? The man lives in a cabin on a mountaintop all by himself except for a white wolf. And now he's yelling insane things about a snowman.
Beware the snowman, he repeated. You cannot go up to the top. You cannot.
Why not? I demanded. My voice came out higher and more shrill than I had intended, even though Dune delivered it more deep and pronounced than ever before. Whatever.
You do not want to meet the snowman, the man cried. The big snowflakes covered his beard, his silvery eyes glowed eerily. If you meet the snowman, he called, you will never return.
Is it Young Jeezy? Because I heard Young Jeezy call himself a snowman because he's got that snow, man.
Totally nuts, I realized. That's why he lives all alone up here. I spun away. I knew I had stayed too long. Slipping and sliding, I ran through the deep snow. I ran as fast as I could. Cold snowflakes slapping my hot face. Heart pounding. Down the road, down the curving mountain road, panting. Was that me breathing so hard? Were those my thudding footsteps? No. Glancing back, I saw the white wolf chasing me, gaining fast.
When I spent 9 years living with the Native Americans on the Iroquois Reservation, they called me the white wolf. They didn't really. I haven't really been to Indian reservations aside from casinos, but whatever.
Teeth bared, head lowered to attack. No, I wailed. The big snowflake stung my eyes as I ran. The white ground tilted. I stumbled, but kept running. I suddenly felt as if I were trapped in one of those glass balls that snow is inside when you shake them. You know, one of those globes filled with snow. I don't know what they're called. They're just glass balls with snow inside. Don't fucking look too deep into this. I tumbled downhill. The snowflakes flew at me in all directions. The whole mountainside seemed to quiver and shake. The road. Where was the road? I lost it in the falling snow. Where would I go? Who knows?
Just more rhymes. I'm just doing that now.
My boots sank into the deep drifts. But I kept running, down, down, the steady thud of the wolves' heavy paws in my ears. I glanced back and saw it gaining on me, moving rhythmically, easily over the snowdrifts. Its teeth were bared. Puffs of steam rose from its open mouth, running hard. I didn't see the smooth rocks jutting up along the side of the road. My boot caught one. Oh! I let out a cry as pain shot up my leg, like my dad shot up in his leg when all his arm veins were caved in. I lost my balance, stumbled forward, landed hard on my stomach in the deep snow. I gasped for breath. The fall knocked the wind out of me. Scrambling to my knees, I watched helplessly as the wolf closed in on me.
Ooh, chapter number 7.
To my surprise, the wolf stopped a few feet away. It lowered its head and stared, breathing hard. Beneath the thick white fur, its chest heaved up and down. Snowflakes melted on its tongue, staring at it in fear. I pushed myself to my feet. I brushed my hair back like an Italian, and brushed snow off the front of my parka. Was the wolf just catching its breath? Would it attack the moment I tried to run? Go home, boy, I whispered. Go home. My voice barely carried over the wind and snow. The white wolf stared up at me, still panting. I started to back up. I was afraid to take my eyes off it. I took one step back, then another. Just give me two steps, you know, like Leonard Skinner. The wolf watched me, but didn't move. My boots crunched onto the road. Yes, I had found the road. I kept backing up, like a juvenile song. The wolf stood taller, lowered its tail, tensed its back. Its brown eyes followed me. Such human eyes. What was it thinking? Why did it chase after me? Was it just making sure that I went down the mountain? Did the strange man send it to keep me from heading to the mountain top? I took another step back, then another. The wolf didn't move. The snow-covered road curved away. I kept backing up until I was out of the creature's sight. Whew! I let out a sigh of relief, turned, and continued walking fast toward the village and my new house. What a bummer of a life, moving somewhere and having those terrible interactions right away. I hope she's articulate and explains this to her aunt rather than just being like, it's okay, I met some kids. It was weird. Every few seconds, I glanced back, but the wolf didn't follow me. The snow came down hard. Informer, I got I like your boom boom now. I pulled my parka hood over my hair. I held it with both hands and started to trot along the road. I wondered if Aunt Greta would be worried about me. I had been gone a lot longer than I had planned. Low snow clouds hid the sun. The sky became nearly as black as night. I started to pass houses on both sides of the road. I could see lights on in some of them. One house had a blazing fire going in the fireplace. Black smoke curled up from the chimney. Does that mean there's a new pope? I passed one of the strange scar-faced snowmen. His tree limb arms trembled in the wind. He appeared to be waving at me as I passed. I broke into a run. Another snowman greeted me as I rounded the next curve. I hate this village, I thought. It's too weird, too weird. I'm never going to be happy here, never. Why did Aunt Greta bring us here? A thudding sound behind me forced away my unhappy thoughts. I'm being followed, I realized. The wolf? No. These heavy footsteps were different. Human footsteps. The crazy bearded man, he followed me. Oh! A frightened moan escaped my lips. Taking a deep breath, I spun around to face him.
Chapter number 8. Shout out to Alan Dixon, who's hopefully drinking to 11 like I am.
Jacqueline, hi! I gasped and stared through the falling snow at Rolanda. She jogged across the road to me. Snowflakes dotted her black hair like gnarly-ass dandruff.
You ran right past our house, she said breathlessly, pointing to her yard.
Didn't you see us? I glanced over her shoulder and saw her brother Eli waving to me from their driveway. No, the snow was falling hard and I stammered.
Are you okay?
Rolanda demanded. She demanded, listeners. She demanded. Well, I hesitated. A white wolf chased me. I blurted out. A crazy man. He has a cabin near the top. His wolf chased me and he...
You ran into Conrad?
Rolanda cried.
Huh? Conrad?
The wind blew my hood off my head. I squinted hard at Rolanda.
Is that that motherfucker's name?
She nodded. He has a cabin that he built himself, and he keeps a white wolf named Wolfbane.
Franklin, your new name is Dognap. Because that's what you are and that's what you do.
I meant to warn you before, Jacqueline.
Warn me? I interrupted.
Yeah, to stay away from that motherfucker. He and that animal he keeps, they're both really strange.
Tell me about it, I groaned, rolling my eyes.
Is that why you and Eli never go to the mountaintop?
Rolanda lowered her eyes.
Well, it's one of the reasons. I waited for her to go on, but she didn't. She continued to stare down at the snow. She kicked a clump of wet snow off one boot with the other. Behind her, Eli stood watching us, his hands jammed into his coat's pocket. For once, unlike how they normally are, jammed into his pants pocket, where he cut some holes into the pockets and was playing with his ding-dong, but not now. They're in his coat pockets.
Well, why does Conrad live up there so far from everyone? I demanded.
Rolanda hesitated. She glanced back tensely at her brother.
No one knows for sure, she answered finally.
Maybe he works for the snowman, I mean.
Her voice trailed off.
Excuse me? I cried. I was sure I hadn't heard her correctly.
What do you mean? What did you say, Rolanda?
That he works for the snowman?
What do you mean? What does that mean?
Bitch, seriously, what are you talking about?
She didn't answer, maybe because I called her bitch.
Again, she glanced back nervously at Eli.
Come on, Rolanda. What do you mean? I insisted. What do you mean?
He works for the snowman?
She backed away, brushing snowflakes from her hair.
I've got to go inside, she said. It's almost dinner time.
I followed after her.
But first, you have to explain, I demanded.
I can't, she whispered, because of Eli. He's too frightened.
But Rolanda, I said. I saw Eli watching us intently from the driveway.
Go home, Rolanda snapped.
Just go home, Jacqueline.
Not until you tell me what you meant.
I can be stubborn when I want to be.
Okay, okay, she whispered, glancing over her shoulder at Eli.
Meet me tomorrow night, okay? Meet me tomorrow night at the church, and I'll tell you everything.
Ooh, is this gonna be sexual? Yeah.
I meant,
probably not.
I mean, it's a Goosebumps book, so no.
But is Backstreet back? Also no?
Sorry.
Chapter number 9.
Hi, I'm back. I burst into the house. Aunt Greta was bending over a carton in the small kitchen, pulling out coffee mugs and placing them on the cabinet. She spun around as I walked in, like my dad was always spun, and that's why he's left. He left. Whatever.
Is it snowing?
She asked. I nodded my head furiously, tossing snowflakes from my hair.
The biggest flakes I ever saw, I replied breathlessly.
Guess you haven't met my friends.
That's not true. My friends aren't really flaky at all. They're often doing things. Maybe I'm flaky.
Fuck. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Aunt Greta frowned.
I've been so busy in here, I didn't even look out the window.
I pulled off my coat and carried it to the front closet. But there were no hangers in the closet yet, so I tossed the wet coat on top of a stack of cartons. Then I walked back into the kitchen, rubbing the sleeves of my sweater.
Aunt Greta, do you know anything about a snowman?
I asked. I heard her gasp, but when she turned to me, her face was blank.
Snowman?
I still don't know the tone for the spooky snowman, but I guess I'll keep trying.
Do you know anything about a snowman
on top of the mountain? That definitely wasn't it, I asked.
Aunt Greta bit her bottom lip sensually.
No, I don't, Jacqueline. Her voice trembled.
Why did she look so tense?
She bent down to pull more mugs from the carton. I crossed the room to help her unpack.
Someone told me I shouldn't go to the top of the mountain because of a snowman.
I'll keep trying, I told her.
A snowman lives up there.
Aunt Greta didn't say shit. She handed me two mugs and told me to shut mine. Just kidding. I lifted them onto the cabinet shelf. This man told me that if I met the snowman up there, I would never return. I continued. My aunt let out a short, dry laugh. Village superstition, she muttered. I squinted at her. Really? Of course, she replied. These tiny villages all have their scary stories. Someone was just having fun, giving you a little scare. Fun? I frowned. I don't think so. That weird, white-bearded guy, Conrad, had screamed at me that I couldn't go up to the mountaintop.
Probably because there's, like, another building up there that he doesn't want you trespassing into?
He wasn't joking. I knew he wasn't joking. He was serious. He was threatening me. He wasn't having a little fun, just having a laugh. No way. Aunt Greta, do you remember a rhyme about a snowman? I asked. You know, it was called Informer. She straightened up and stretched, pushing her hands against her back. Rhyme? I remembered a rhyme today. And here's what I'm gonna say. From when I was little, it just popped into my head. I'm not gonna rhyme stuff. Aunt Greta chewed her lip again, fretfully. I don't think I remember any rhyme, she said. She glanced away, avoiding my eyes. I only remember the first verse, I told her, and then I recited it like Dune had to for the third time, and he fucked up the second time, but we'll try it again. When the snows blow wild and the day grows old, beware the snowman, my child. Beware the snowman, he brings the cold. When I finished, I looked up to find the strangest expression on Aunt Greta's face. Her eyes had gone all watery, and her chin trembled. Her cheeks were even paler than usual.
Does she not understand what crying is? Because that's what she's describing.
Aunt Greta, are you okay? I asked. What's wrong? Nothing, she replied sharply, like cheddar cheese, turning her face away from me. Nothing at all, Jacqueline. But I don't remember that rhyme. I don't think I've ever heard it before.
She fiddled nervously with her long white braid.
Are you sure? I asked timidly. Of course I'm sure, she snapped. Now, come on, help me finish up in here so I can begin dinner.
What is wrong? I wondered. Why is she suddenly angry with me? And why do I have the feeling that she isn't telling the truth?
Aunt Greta has never lied to me before.
Why is she acting so strange now?
Maybe she's the Snow Woman.
I guess we'll find out on chapter number 10, but we never find out. I don't know why I say that we'll find out on the next chapter, because we never do.
Chapter number 10. I couldn't sleep that night. My new bed felt hard. I kept imagining that the low ceiling was sinking, dropping down on me, like the commercials for the Indiana Jones ride when it came out in Disneyland with the ceiling dropping in the line, and then you went there and you shook everything and eventually something rumbled, but nothing seemed to ever go down. It was all a disappointment. The snow clouds had drifted away, and a half moon appeared low in the sky, like God had cut his fingernail. Oh wait, that's not a sliver moon, it's a half moon. Like God was about to send that little emoticon where you put a colon and then the capital D. That's what God was doing, God damn it! The moonlight washed in through my round window, casting long, shifting shadows over my room. I shuddered under my quilt. It was all so new and strange. I wondered if I'd ever be able to sleep up here. I shut my eyes and tried to think nice, soothing things. I pictured my friends back in Chicago. I called up their faces, one by one. I wondered what they're all doing today while I was having my frightening adventure on the mountain. I wondered if they had missed me. I had just about fallen asleep when the howls began. Wolf howls? I climbed out of bed and made my way to the window. Down, down below, the moonlight made the snow sparkle, almost as bright as during the day. Bushes trembled in a soft breeze. The wind carried another frightening howl. I raised my eyes to the mountain, but I could only see houses, dark and silent, and the silvery road that curved its way to the top. My whole body tingled as if I were coming up on ecstasy. I knew I couldn't fall asleep as if I were peaking on ecstasy. It was chilly up here in my attic room. The air felt heavy and damp. I decided to take a walk. Maybe it will help me relax, I told myself, or freeze to death. I pulled on a pair of jeans and a sweatshirt. Then I crept downstairs like the Grinch, careful not to wake Aunt Greta, and found my parka and boots. Shut up, car. Stepping out into the night, I silently closed the front door behind me. My eyes swept over the glittering snow of the front yard. I made my way to the road. My breath steamed up in wisps of fog. Wow, I murmured. Wow. It was just like Cool Running when they're like, Sanka, what you smoking, man? And he's like, yo, I'm not smoking, I'm breathing. The cold, fresh air felt so good on my face, like a menthol cigarette all around me. The wind had stopped. The whole world seemed still and silent. No cars, I realized, no horns honking, no buses roaring past, no dunes reading Goosebumps loudly. By the way, I got a package while I was reading Goosebumps today. And I was like, man, that must be so bizarre for the delivery dude while someone's just drunk at like 4:30 p.m. on a Wednesday afternoon while they walk up and there's just someone yelling about snowmen inside. No wonder I didn't hear the package fall. He probably crept away as quick as possible. No, people laughing and shouting on the street. I'm all alone out here, I told myself. The whole world is mine. A long, frightening howl brought me out of my crazy thoughts. I shivered and raised my eyes to the mountaintop. Was the white wolf howling up there? Did it howl like that every night? Why did the howls sound so human? I took a deep breath of cold air and held it. Then I began walking slowly along the road. My boots crunched on the hard, crusty snow. I passed a few houses and kept on walking. I stopped as a shadow slid over my path. Damn, I'm good at reading Goosebumps.
Chapter number 11.
I gasped. At first, I thought someone was following me. But then I realized I was staring at a long shadow of a snowman. The shadow tilted over the road. The tree branch arms, one raised, one out to the side, appeared long and menacing. I stepped over the shadow and crossed the street. But another shadow fell over me. Another snowman. An identical snowman. The shadows of the strange snowman fell over each other. I suddenly felt as if I were walking in black and white. In a world of shadowy heads, fluttering scarves, and stick-like arms, all saluting, all waving. Why were there so many of them? Why did the people in this village build them all alike? Another howl made my eyes raise up from the shit on the crisscrossing shadows over the snow. This howl sounded closer, and it definitely sounded human, unlike the beginning of this paragraph, because dear God, what was that stuttering I did? A chill ran down my back. I turned. Time to head home, I decided. My heart was pounding now. The howl so near had really frightened me. It was scary. I started to walk fast, swinging my arms as I walked, like the Patterson Gimlet. Is it Gimlin? Gimlin? Whatever. The fucking Bigfoot footage. Leaning into the gusting wind, but I stopped when I saw the scar-faced snowman in the driveway up ahead, and I gasped when it nodded its head at me. Good day, Governor. No! A low cry escaped my lips. No! It nodded. The snowman done nodded. Then the head rolled to the ground and cracked apart with a soft thud. And I realized the wind had made the head nod.
The reason I was making music there was to do the head nodding thing. I don't know why I needed to do that, and I guess I needed to complete the fact that I was nodding my head like the snowman was, but I needed a sound effect to go with it so you would understand that I was doing it, but the explanation was needed. It doesn't matter. The wind had blown the scarred head off the body. What am I doing out here? I asked myself. It's late. And it's cold. And it's weird. And some kind of creature nearby is howling its head off. Speaking of creatures not howling their heads off, Franklin, you have barely woken up during all of this. Franklin? Franklin? Really? You just slightly move your head? Franklin, say hi to me. Franklin, I love you, Papa. You're so fucking lazy. I gazed across the yard at the headless snowman. I wonder if I can get Yoda to come see me. That's a pet that cares, Franklin. Donnie! Oh, now you're looking up because I'm calling him? Yoda! Donnie! Come here, come see me, Papa.
The head was shattered as a shattered clump of white in the snowman's base, but the scarf had remained on top of the round body. It flapped in a gust of cold wind. I felt another shiver. I turned and ran toward home. Ran through the black shadows of snowmen. My boots crunched over the shadows of their waving arms, their scarred heads. A snowman in each yard. Snowmen lining the streets like watchmen. Who snows the snowmen? Oh, I guess that doesn't work like the watchman quote.
Yoda? Where are you going, Papa? I heard you coming.
Donnie!
That's the call to get the cat to come. Oh, Scarlet came. Hi, baby. Hi, Mimi. Hi, Scarlet. Come here, baby girl. Wow. Franklin, you're supposed to come when you're called. Yoda, you're supposed to come when you're called. And look, the little girl cat, who doesn't care about anything, came. Really makes you think about how all my pets are jerks.
This walk was a crazy idea, I thought, feeling panic tighten my chest. I wanted to be home now. I wanted to be back in the safety of my new home. A snowman waved its three-fingered limb at me and sneered its cold, dark sneer as I ran past it and as I scrambled for home. The rhyme forced its way back into my mind and forced Dune to read it again. When the snows blow wild and the day grows old, beware the snowman, my child. Beware the snowman, he brings the cold. My house came into view down the road. I sucked in a deep breath and ran harder. The old rhyme had been haunting me ever since I arrived in the village. The old rhyme had followed me from my childhood, followed me to my strange new home. Why did I suddenly remember it today?
Why did you remember it today? Because you've seen like 30 snowmen and it's a rhyme about snowmen. Like, I don't understand why it's surprising to you.
Oh, God, all these snowmen are reminding me of a rhyme about snowmen. What is going on? It must be my brain going cuckoo bananas. Was it trying to tell me something? Why had the cold words returned after being forgotten for so many years? I had to find the rest of it. I had to find the second verse of the poem. An eerie howl, rising like an ambulance siren, sounded so close behind me, I spun around.
Hi, Scarlet. Were you meowing? That's cool.
Meow?
You want to do another one? You want to do one into the mic?
I searched the road in the frozen yards. No one there. No wolf. No human. No wolf man. No man wolf. No man witch. No sloppy Joe.
Okay, that's enough meowing. I'm sorry I called you over.
Another howl sounded even closer. Was something following me? Was someone following me? I held my hands over my ears to keep out the frightening sounds, and I flew over the snow. Flew the rest of the way home.
I'm assuming that's an exaggeration expression, that she's not actually flying. Scarlet! I'm sorry I called you. Come see me. Don't just yell.
I reached the narrow front door as the long howl sent a chill down my body.
Okay, now you can howl. It'll add to the effect. Oh, you're just gonna lick your arm. Okay.
Closer. It's so close, I realize someone is following me. I grabbed the doorknob, twisted it, and pushed. No, the door didn't budge. I twisted it again. This way. The other way. That way. Some other way. Pushed the door. Pulled it. Locked. I had locked myself out.
Chapter number 12, I just made a third cocktail to try to get through the silly-ass podcast.
It's ridiculous.
Another frightening howl, so close, from the side of my house. My whole body trembled as if I were detoxing. Panic tightened my throat. I stumbled back from the front door and saw that the front window, the only window on this side of the house, was open, a crack. Snow streaked the window panes and clumped on the narrow sill. I stared at the tiny opening at the window bottom. Then I sucked in a deep breath and hurtled to the window. I grabbed the snowy wooden frame, uttered a loud groan. I pushed up with all my strength like a push-up pop that has Dino from the Flintstones on the side of it for some reason. Why did he still advertise those? I don't know. I pushed with all my strength. To my surprise, the window slid open easily. I pushed it all the way up. Then I grabbed the sill with both hands. I hoisted myself up, as another howl rang through the air, so close and frightening. I tumbled headfirst into the house. I landed hard on my hands and knees on the wooden floor. With a gasp, I scrambled to my feet, grabbed the window, and pulled it shut. Then I stood, leaning against the wall and listening, waiting to catch my breath. Had I awakened Aunt Greta? No. The house stood dark and silent. Ooh. The tall, dark, silent type of the house. Black dudes. The only sound I could hear was my rapid, shallow breathing. Another howl, distant this time. Had I only imagined that I was being followed? Were the terrifying howls rolling down from the mountaintop? Were the carried by the wind? Still, breathing hard, I stepped away from the front wall, making my way slowly through the darkness. I headed to the little back room where we had piled all the packing cartons. My books were still stuffed in one of the cartons. Just like the books since I moved in February, as it's the end of August while I record this. The only books I took out were Goosebumps, baby! And the Tao Te Ching, because I'm back into that. I was sure that I had packed the old poetry book Mom used to read to me. White moonlight flooded in from the window. Wait, is that moonshine? Against the back wall, I found the book carton on top of a stack and pulled it down to the floor, because whoever stacked things was an idiot and put the heavy-ass books on top, and then all the other cartons on the bottom, they have a bunch of crunched-ass shit below it. But that doesn't matter, because my hands trembled as I struggled to pull off the heavy packing tape and open the box. I have to find that poem, I told myself, for the first time in human history, because no one likes poetry. I have to read the second verse of that rhyme. I tugged open the carton and began pulling out books like a crazy librarian, because librarians pull out books. Fuck, that was an unfunny joke. Oh, I'm gonna drink. I had packed a bunch of paperbacks on top. Underneath them, I found some textbooks and anthologies I had used at school. As I pulled them out and stacked them carefully on the floor, I heard a cough, and then a footstep. Someone else is here, I realized. Aunt Greta, is that you? I cried, but the voice that replied was not Aunt Greta's. What are you doing? A strange voice demanded in a raspy whisper, like a raspberry. God, I am off. I need to drink heavily before I start chapter number 13. Chapter number 13. The ceiling light flashed on. I blinked 182 times, like Matt Skiba. I swallowed hard, also like Matt Skiba, and stared up at Aunt Greta. You frightened me, Jacqueline, she croaked out. Wait, before you said it was definitely not Aunt Greta. The voice that replied was not Aunt Greta's. You frightened me, Jacqueline. It was Aunt Greta. Fuck you, R.L. Stine. That is not a twist in a book. That's just lying to the reader. I don't like to lie to my listeners.
Here, watch me lie to them. I really enjoy doing this, and I'm going to keep doing more book series after this because it's been so fulfilling, both emotionally and financially. See, that's a lie. What you did was also a lie, and I don't appreciate it. I jumped to my feet.
You frighten me too,
I replied, waiting for my heart to stop pounding.
What happened to your voice?
Aunt Greta rubbed her pale throat.
I've lost it,
she rasped.
Horrible sore throat. I must be getting a cold.
I'm not used to the cold of this village yet.
Sorry, there's like a hair in my mouth somehow.
Her straight white hair hung loose behind her. Hang loose, bruh. She tugged it off the collar of her flannel nightshirt, brushing out tangles with one hand.
What are you doing, Jacqueline?
Why are you down here in the middle of the night? She croaked.
That old poem, I replied. I want to find it. I can't remember the second verse.
I will unpack the books tomorrow,
she cut in, as if she were trying to dance with someone else's partner.
She yawned. I'm so tired, and my throat hurts so badly. Let's try to get some sleep.
She suddenly appeared so tiny and frail.
I'm sorry, I said, following her from the room. I didn't mean to wake you up before you go to sleep. I just couldn't sleep myself, so...
Her eyes fell on my parka, which I had tossed onto the living room chair.
You went out? She cried, spinning to face me. I could see alarm on her face.
Well, yes, I confessed. I thought maybe a short walk.
You shouldn't go out in the middle of the night, she scolded. She rubbed her sore throat.
Her eyes narrowed at me.
Sorry, I muttered. What's the big deal anyway? What's so terrible about going out at night?
I said, not having ever read rape or murder statistics.
She hesitated, chewing her lower lip the way she always does when she's thinking hard.
It's just dangerous, that's all, she whispered finally.
What if you fell in the snow or something? What if you broke your leg?
There's no one outside to help you, except for those rapey snowmen.
I'd roll home, I joked. I laughed, but she didn't join in.
I had the strong feeling that she had something else on her mind. She wasn't worried about me falling down. She was worried about something else. She didn't want to say it.
Did it have something to do with the animal howls?
Did it have something to do with the snowman on the mountain that Conrad had warned me about? The snowman that Aunt Greta said was just a village superstition. I yawned. I finally felt sleepy. Too sleepy to think any more about these questions. I put my arm around Aunt Greta's slender shoulders and walked her across the hall to her room.
Sorry I woke you, I whispered.
Then I said goodnight and climbed the ladder to my attic bedroom. Yawning, I pulled off my jeans and sweatshirt and tossed them on the floor. Then I jumped into bed and pulled the quilt up to my chin. It was the AIDS quilt and I died. The end. Just kidding again. Pale moonlight washed in from the round window at the other end of the room. I shut my eyes. No howls outside, no sound at all. I snuggled my head into my soft pillow. My new bed still felt hard, but I was too tired to give a shit. I had just about drifted off to sleep when the whispered words floated into the room.
Beware the snowman, Jacqueline. Beware the snowman.
Chapter number 14. I sat straight up with a gasp.
Huh? Who's there? I choked out. I stared across the room at the window.
The unfamiliar shapes of my furniture appeared silvery, ghost-like in the white moonlight.
Beware the snowman. The whispered words were repeated.
Jacqueline, beware the snowman.
Who are you? I cried, like the caterpillar from Alice in Wonderland. How do you know my name?
Sitting in the strange bed, I grabbed the end of the quilt, which was not the AIDS quilt, gripping it tightly in both hands, squeezing it. I listened.
Silence now.
Who are you?
My cry, so tiny and shrill.
Silence. Who are you?
Silence. I don't know how long I sat there, waiting for a reply.
Please respond.
But after a while, I somehow drifted off to sleep.
Like Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift.
Drinking break!
The next morning, I told Aunt Greta about the whispered warning. She sipped her coffee before replying. Then she reached across the table and squeezed my hand. I had bad dreams too last night, she said, still whispering because of her sore throat. Dream? I replied. Do you think it was a dream? Well, I don't know if it was a dream. I just had my niece living with me and sneaking out at night and fucking up my shit all the time when I decided not to have kids or get married. God damn it, I tried to move up here to freeze you to death and you won't do it. Why can't you get the message? She didn't say at all. Aunt Greta nodded and took another long sip of coffee. Of course, she croaked out. I spent the day helping my aunt unpack the cartons and arrange our new house. I searched every carton for the poetry book, but I couldn't find it. I didn't realize how much stuff we had brought from our apartment in Chicago. Such a small house. It was a real struggle to find a place to put everything. As we worked, I found myself thinking about Rolanda. She had promised to meet me at the little village church after dinner. She said she would tell me the truth about the snowman tonight. The truth. I pictured her brother Eli's frightened expression as he stood in the snowy driveway, watching Rolanda and me. And I remembered how frightened they became when I told them I was walking to the mountaintop. So much fear in this village. Was it all because of some silly, stupid stition? That's what I say.
Hey, our atheism. I got a new way to call it. We should call it stupid stition.
Whatever. After I washed and dried the dinner dishes, I pulled on my parka and my boots and prepared to meet Rolanda. I told Aunt Greta the truth. I told her I was meeting a village girl my age I'd met during my walk. It's snowing really hard, Aunt Greta Dunsetta, in a raspy whisper.
Don't stay out late, Jacqueline.
I promised I'd be home before 9. Then I pulled up my hood like a Klansman, tugged on my gloves like O.J. Simpson, and stepped outside like none of you do, you shut-ins. Does it snow here every day?
Here it's November.
Oh, wait, here's December every day. God damn it, I fucked up my AFI lyrics. Doesn't matter, I asked myself, shaking my head. I've always liked snow, but enough already. The snow came down hard, in sheets driven by a strong wind. I lowered my head and trudged down the road towards the church. Snowflakes blew in my face and stung my eyes like the devil's bees. I could barely see. Oh, MG. good one. What a blizzard. I wondered if Rolanda would show up. The little stone church stood across from the post office. It wasn't far down the road from my house, but walking into the blowing snow, it seemed like miles. Keeping my head down, I stepped into the deep drift. Cold snow dropped onto my face. Why did I get my face? Onto my boot, soaking my sock. Oh, I let out a shuddering groan. I'm gonna freeze, I cried out. There was no one around to hear me. The road stood empty. Nothing moved. I passed a brightly lit house, but I couldn't see shit inside. The snow blew against my face, my coat, as if it was trying to push me back, as if trying to make me turn around. This is brazy, I murmured as if I were YG. Crazy, as if I were anyone else. No way Rolanda will meet me tonight. Squinting into the gray evening light, I saw the steeple of the church, white against the falling snow. I hope it's open, I said out loud. Ducking my head, I ran across the road.
Hey, why does the Jacqueline cross the road? To get to Rolanda to get information about the top of the mountain and then the snowman. It's not a good joke, but you know, it's like an in-joke for people who've listened to this podcast.
And thudded into something hard and very cold. Evil black eyes glared into mine and I started to scream.
Chapter number 15. Shout out to Michael McParland
and Lucas Lady, who's an old staple of the old podcast, asked me when I'm getting married and when my bachelor party is going to be, and can he come to both? First off, Lucas, are you back in the U.S.? I know he was working, like, video, right? For the Olympics? Doing something? You're in Brazil, right? You got Olympic fever, a.k.a. the Zika virus. Am I right? When is my wedding? We canceled the venue. We're still chill. We're good. But we put everything off. We're probably going to do a small wedding. We were going to do a, like, co-bachelor thing in Cabo San Lucas. But obviously, as you've known from the podcast, a bunch of goddamn shit has gone on. And she switched jobs, so none of us got no damn money. And shit's stressful, so I don't know. Maybe we'll just do a tiny beach wedding with, like, just our immediate family or something. But no, you're not invited to that one. And the bachelor party, I don't, like I want to do it with her, too, because I don't know. I don't like strippers and shit. Shit makes me uncomfortable. And I don't know what to do. Is this going to be my close bros going to Cabo for a weekend? I want to catch a marlin. But I don't know. I don't know what's going on. You can come out to San Diego and hang out and we'll drink as long as you drive. But yeah, I've hung out with other listeners and drank. That's cool. We can do whatever. I don't know. Hopefully I'll get flights next year again, depending on what's going on. And maybe I'll go around and record shit. I don't know. I have no idea what I'm doing. That's the main point of all of this. I have no idea what's going on in my life. I'm very stressed out. Once again, I said this was chapter 15. It's goddamn chapter 15. A second later, my hands jerked me away. A voice cried, "Jacqueline, what's wrong?" My scream caught in my throat. I stumbled back, my boots slipping in the slick, wet snow. I turned to see Rolanda. "Help me, Rolanda, help me get a better name." Tugging on my coat sleeve. "I saw you run right into that snowman," she said. "Why'd you scream?" I sputtered. I squinted through the falling snow at the snowman. At his dark eyes, at the scar down his round face. I just freaked, I stammered. I scolded myself for acting so stupid. Now, Rolanda must think I'm a real jerk, I thought unhappily. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me, Rolanda? What's wrong with me, Rolanda? Yeah. What the fuck? I need to stop. I'm almost done with this. Screaming because I'd bumped into a snowman. Why did someone build a snowman like that in front of the church? I asked. It's a false idol. Have you heard anything about the Bible? Rolanda didn't reply. Her dark eyes peered into mine. Are you okay? She asked. I nodded. Yeah, fine. Let's just get out of the snow. I took one last glance at the sneering snowman. Then I followed Rolanda to a wooden door on the side of the small church. We stepped inside and stamped the snow off our boots on our straw mat. A straw mat. Dear God, this is the worst chapter I've ever read. I need a drink. Hold up. Sure. It stopped once for 10 minutes. We all took a summer vacation, Rolanda joked. She shook out her long, black hair. I glanced around. We were in some kind of waiting room. A long wooden bench stood against the back wall. Two lights shaped like old-fashioned gas lamps hung on the wall beside the bench, giving off a soft glow. We dropped our coats beside the bench and sat down. I rubbed my hands like Mr. Burns, trying to warm them. Excellent. My cheeks burned. It's nice and warm in here, Rolanda said, keeping her voice low. The pastor keeps the heat up real high. He doesn't like to be cold. Ooh, maybe he's evil. You know, the devil doesn't like to be cold, or maybe he does. I don't know what the devil likes. Who does? I murmured, rubbing my ears, trying to return some feeling to them. It's a nice, quiet place to talk, Rolanda continued, especially to talk about things that are kind of scary. Scary? I replied. She glanced around the small, white-walled room. She suddenly seemed tense, uncomfortable. Did your aunt tell you anything about the village? Rolanda whispered. Anything about the history of the village? I had to lean close to her. She was whispering so softly. Why is she so nervous? I wondered. We're the only ones in the entire church. No, I replied, not a thing. I really don't think Aunt Greta knows much about this village at all.
Then, why did you move here? Rolanda demanded. I shrugged. Beats me. Aunt Greta never explained.
Aunt Greta never said a. That's what you get a.
She said it was time for us to leave Chicago. Rolanda leaned forward tensely and brought her face close to mine. I'll tell you the story, she whispered. The history of this village is very strange. People don't talk about it much. Why not? I interrupted. Because it's so frightening, Rolanda replied. My brother Eli is terrified all the time. That's why I met you here, at the church. He doesn't like for me to talk about any of this. He doesn't like for me to talk about the snowman. Snowman? I demanded. I stared at her eagerly. What about the snowman? Damn, I'm actually curious, but so ends part one of Beware the Snowman by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. If I don't do any more Give Yourself Goosebumps, then there'll only be 3.5 episodes left forever. Forever. Wow, that's kind of impressive. God, I've done a lot of these. I really hope you guys enjoy them. I don't know. Shoot me a message or something. I'm here. I got shit going on. I don't know. I keep saying I don't know, but I truly don't know. I'm in such a weird crossroads in my life, and I'm just trying to get my shit together. I really am. Help me. Please just help me, listeners. I don't know. Stay spooky, bitches.